first, in the fourth, and fifth semester. And
connected devotion means the first part.
Yes. And I would like to, or should I realize to somebody method in my teaching. I would like to ask about Archana, that nectar of devotion gives a theological aspect, theological basis of nectar of Archana, and the 64 elements of or acts of devotional service and 36 among these are direct connection of Archana. Why does Rupa Goswami emphasize this Archana?
So you're dealing with Sanatana Goswami is establishing Sambandha. Then Rupa Goswami is establishing Abhideya. So now Abhideya is the application of Sambandha to get the result. Right? So therefore, the difference in them is one is describing the elements of deity worship, their application, and what purpose they fulfill. Right? But devotional service is then putting it, Rupa Goswami is putting it in the context of the whole process. And as we discussed before, there's no real difference in it. You know, one and the other, it's the perspective you look at it. You know what I'm saying? It means you take this rug and you can look at it from its aesthetic aspect. But in that, you're going to have to consider, you know, the material that's made out of. Right? But if you look at its how you make it, right, then that also is dependent upon what aesthetic effect you want and the material is made out of. Right? You look at the marketing aspect of it. Right? So you also still have to look at what it's made out of and how it's made in the aesthetic aspect, because you have to decide who you're selling it to. And economically, you have to decide what was your cost for you to sell it. You understand? So, in other words, all the aspects have to be looked at, but depending upon which one you're looking at present, that takes prominence. Right? It means I can't set the price too low because the aesthetic value of it is higher. So even though it's the same material as another design, because it looks better, I can sell it for more, even though the cost is the same. Right? Or because its aesthetic is more, it took more effort to do, therefore I have to charge more to make my profit. Or it's this kind of aesthetic aspect will only appeal to more sophisticated people. Right? Therefore I have to sell it for more, because if it's less, they won't buy it. Right? Does that make sense? You go to the market. You go to a place where they sell perfumes. Right? And you see this bottle, you know, is 30 euro. You know, this one is 35 euro. You know, this one is 25 euro. Right? This one is 40 euro. This one is 5 euro. What do you think about the 5 euro?
very cheap.
Yes.
It's not writing.
Yeah. But actually, it could be off the other ones, they're making, you know, how do you say, 1,000% profit, and off this they're only making 10%. You know what I'm saying? Because the perfume only costs 5 euro for the bottle is the most expensive thing. You know what I'm saying? But automatically I think, so therefore I'm selling it to, it's a sophisticated design, only sophisticated people buy it. I have to sell it for more, otherwise it won't go in the market. Does that make some sense? Yeah, so that's the point. Is that because you've looked at it from the economic point, you still have to consider who you're doing it for, what it's made out of, what was the marketing, this and that, and everything. You know what I'm saying? So you cannot actually technically divorce any one topic from the other. But it just becomes, it falls into its particular place while the other one becomes trauma. Does that make some sense? So, therefore, the sambandha and the avideya and the prayojana, you can't really separate. When it's applied, Krishna doesn't make the distinction between the sandini sambit and ladini potencies. Right? They're only made that different. Are you more comfortable sitting up? You can sit up if you're more comfortable. It means, you know, if anybody's more comfortable, there's less of you, you can all sit up. And stretch out. Yeah. Yeah, like, nobody's here. Okay? Does that make sense? So, what you're focusing on, it's not isolated. That's the problem with the modern academy. They isolate it. They make it into a little box. But there's nothing in nature that is isolated. Everything is, there's always a junction between it and something else. There's always a connection. There's always a sangati. You know, is the beach where the water is the ocean or the sand? Or the land? You know what I'm saying? Because if you say, oh, it's land because sand's there, but under the ocean is sand, but you still call the whole thing the ocean. You can't have the ocean without something holding it up. Right? And if you say it's ocean, but, you know, but sand is predominant there, only when the wave comes in, then there's all kinds of water, but then it goes out again. You know, so that's the point. It's both. You know, is the twilight day or night? You know, it's both. We say nighttime means it's dark, but it's still light. And if we say daytime is when the sun's up, but the sun's not up, the sun's set. Does that make sense? So every topic is like that. They have elements that are the same in the other. Does that make sense? So in other words, okay? So within it, even within one, you have the sambandha, avideya, and prayojana. Within sambandha, within avideya, you have sambandha, avideya, prayojana. Right? And within a prayojana, you have sambandha, avideya, prayojana. Right? Because let's say you're going to do the artik, which would be avideya. But you still have to prepare yourself, prepare the paraphernalia, set it all up, get everything the way it's supposed to be. That's the sambandha of the avideya. You know what I'm saying? Like that. That you could look at that. Or let us look at it that we're taking here. Okay, we'll look at it. Then you're doing the artik. That's the avideya of the avideya. And then the prayojana is that you please the Lord through that. Okay? Or we back it up and we take that our goal is to do the artik. Okay? So then identifying the paraphernalia, And preparing the paraphernalia, that is the sambandha. The abhideya is where I get it all together and, you know, everything's starting to happen. The prayojana is I operate it. You know what I'm saying? So, like that is, you're always going to have these overlaps. Does that make some sense? Yeah. So, in describing the process of abhideya, it will include deity worship. Alright?
That's so profound.
Because that was sadhana bhakti. As it goes later, it's not as prominent. You know what I'm saying? So in sadhana bhakti, in other words, okay, maybe why it's not clear is because you're looking at volume. Okay. You're looking at volume. Because if you actually look at nectar devotion, what do the other three waves deal with?
Only the act.
Huh?
Only the act.
Yeah, so that's the point.
64 act.
Yeah, means you're looking at the qualities of Krishna, means you're looking at the five aspects of rasa. You're looking at the sthayi bhav, anu bhav, vibhav, sattvika bhav, and sanchari bhav. So the other chapters describe that. And then what's improper rasa, right? You're teaching the whole book or just the first part?
The first part.
Okay. So then, in this, then you would want to maybe bring out supporting literatures of the nectar devotion. Depends on your time. You know what I'm saying? Means if, like, Madhurya Kadambini is that one verse, you know, like that, and then I say these other Harinam Chintamani brings out the 10 offenses. You know, all these different things. They are all in pursuit of that. So you might lift a few things in doing that. Then you'll see that it's balancing. In other words, in the what you're teaching is. Bhagavat, the Pancharatrik, and the Vedic. So the Bhagavat means you're dealing with the deity. Right? But the deity means Krishna in his pastimes. Right? Or Krishna in his name. Right? But that works fine if you're on the liberated platform. So those in the platform of Bhav Sadhana, that's fine. The conditioned soul needs Pancharatra to regulate their life. As it is now, if you think, you know, what is your life? And we'll say it's Bhagavat, you know, chanting, preaching, and all this. Right? That's generally how we'll look at it. Because technically that's what it is. But what tells you that you should get up in Brahma Muhurta? Yeah. That you should, you know, fix up your bed, take a bath, how you brush your teeth, how you use the toilet, clean your tongue, you know, all these things, your tilak, your neck beads, your cloth, going to the temple, offering your obeisances, there's the Mangalarti, the puja, the Guru puja, Charinamrita, you know, the having the Bhagavatam class, having the shad distribution. What describes all that? Yeah, and then, you know, taking rest at night and all these things. So that means actually the regulation of it, the form of it that you, how you say, is Pancharatra. So the actual mood and focus of it is Bhagavad. Right? And then those elements of your life that don't fit into those two, That's Vedic. Right, the whole Grihastha ashram and economics and all that. Does that make sense? So that's the thing. The Bhagavat's the focus, but the Pancharatra is the form of it, and the Vedic is the system. Does that make some sense? Okay. So the Pancharatra is both a process, and it also defines the sambandha. Okay. So even in Nectar Devotion, the first five chapters are basically establishing, giving an overview of the whole thing. So it's a general view of devotional service. It's all the definitions and relationships between them and all that. At least that's my understanding. Others feel it's only the first two chapters. But the Vedic view is, even I'm describing Bhava Bhakti, but I'm describing it in relationship to the process and how it interacts with everything else, that's still samadhi. Right? It would be very difficult for you to actually prove that the third, fourth, or fifth chapters are defining something other than the general concept of devotional service. And they're not defining sadhana bhakti, otherwise why are they talking about prema and all that? So that's Prabhupada's view on it. You can look in the back of the book where it decides it breaks up the chapters, that's how he breaks it up. You know what I'm saying? But others have the idea that only first and second is samanya, and then from the third, I think it starts, or from the second, it starts sadhana bhakti, simply because it talks technical terms and this and that. But it's still only the opening. Because they don't think of anything in sambandha abhidhaya prayojana. So therefore, they can't tell that. That makes sense. So therefore, these are the things in which you apply, because it is. Following the codices and you know, all the festivals and then the arrangements for the festivals and all that. So that's going to happen, you know, for so much of the activities. You know, and this is how Rupa Goswami felt it would be applied. Because in Chaitanya Charitamrita it describes what Lord Chaitanya told him. So in there, then sometimes I'll couple them differently and stuff like that. The Slokam was 64. The nine process of devotional service will be part of that. But those have been, the point is the Archanam and the Padyam have been put into the others, so they don't have to be necessarily mentioned separately. That makes sense? So technically you have five. Everything's an expansion of them. So because we're conditioned, therefore the part of the deity worship that takes in volume takes prominence. But in focus it's the hearing, chanting and associating with devotees. Okay, so whether hearing, chanting is associating with devotees, or where you're worshipping the deity, or that combination, that's always the Dhamma. Is that okay? So the Pancha, the Bhagavat you're dealing with Krishna himself. And the Pancharatra you're dealing with Krishna, but in the form of the deity. So the other one is based on rasa, so therefore all those things are done anyway. But they're coming from the spontaneous platform. And in the material world, then it's coming from the platform of regulation that we don't know what to do, so therefore there's a rule so that we do it. Does that make sense? Yeah. In other words, in the spiritual world, out of affection, then, you know, I say, when Mother Yashoda sees Krishna, the cowherd boys see Krishna, they go forward to meet him. Right. So therefore, then it mentions when the devi open, we stand up, you know, or in the Dharma Shastra, then you move forward. Because we don't know. Like that. But that's what they do in the spiritual world. So when you write down the activities, it means you document the activities that they do in the spiritual world. And then that's called the Pancharatra, or the Vedic. So the Pancharatra is those Vedic things that specifically are focused on the deity. And everything else is just left in the Dharma Shastra. Because you'll find a lot of the things in the Pancharatra are just lifted exactly as it is from Mana. You know, like that. Because it's the Vedic aspect. So then those of the Vedic that's directly focused on the deity, that's Pancharatra. And those that are not, are more generic. It could be, you know, then are left. But there is a not. It's not that they only appear here and don't here. They all appear in the Vedic. And then those that are for the deity worship are lifted and put into the Pancharatra. That makes sense. Okay. That okay? Seems that makes sense.
But this question in another aspect, Krishna in the 11th canto talks about deity worship to Uddhava, and in this part Krishna says that the most beneficial process is deity worship, and it concerns of Dwapara Yuga only, or Kali Yuga, but in Kali Yuga is the most important way, Sankirtan Yuga. It's the same question, but in another aspect.
Oh, you're saying, why is it Krishna saying? Because that is the most important element of pleasing the deity. You're trying to please the Lord. So we see the deity. So trying to please the deity is the same as trying to please Krishna, you know, in his pastimes. Swayam Krishna. You understand? But we can remember and think of the deity. Well, those on the Bhagavad platform, they will just remember, or they won't see any difference. To them, the deity is Swayam Krishna. So of all the things that, then the Sankirtan and cooperating with the devotees is the most important. Of ritual, it's the bath. You know. But of actual things that please him is cooperatively serving. And so in this age, the best service is Sankirtan. So cooperatively serve, you know, in other words, performing Sankirtan will be the most pleasing to the deity, because that is where cooperation goes on. Right? Devotees cooperating together to serve Krishna is what pleases him. So this age, serving Krishna is through chanting. Right. Another age it would have been through deity worship, another age through yajna, another age through... Does that make sense? So they always cooperate, that's the thing.
Krishna says in verse 11th canto that there are three forms of deity worship. Vedic, which offers mantras, with mantras, and tantric, which offers with rituals and the mixed. That is the origin of these origins of these three form and what is exactly
Vaikanas is the Vedic.
Yeah.
And the Tantra, then there's so many Tantras.
What does it mean, Vaikanas, exactly?
Vaikanas, it means a method of worship where you use Vedic mantras. So the ritual is very simple, but everything is done with a Vedic mantra. And that means Vedic mantra with the swaras and everything. So that's, and from what I understand, you have to be born in those families.
I know it, but the word Vaikanas, it means vanaprastha.
That may be one of the words used of Vaikanas. That's because there's things, elements defined in Vaikanas that Manu refers to that the vanaprastha should follow. But that doesn't necessarily mean that Vaikanas is from there. In other words, that's what I'm saying. Even amongst the scriptures, they refer to each other. Because it's the same author. It's just that it's already explained elaborately here, why will it be explained again here? You just refer to here. So in other words, what is generic principles, that all of them will describe. And then what is specifically important for that particular scripture, that will be described in depth. Right? So the angle of it then will be important. So if it's the same thing but the angle is slightly different, then it will be described again. So that's what becomes confusing about the Vedic literature. It seems it's the same, but at the same time it's different. Because it's described from a different angle. Does that make sense? So that's what becomes confusing. So it shouldn't. So in other words, one would have to look in the Vaikanas and see what elements of it describe activities that are used in Vanaprastha that would be referred to there that would have been used for the Vanaprastha. Does that make sense? But it doesn't mean Vaikanas is a treatise on Vanaprastha. It's just like I mentioned, because the point is Vaikanas would be a complete system. So it probably explains how they study and how they do their worship and as a grihastha and how they act as a vanaprastha and, you know, like that. It may get into the whole thing. So in other words, by following it, it's a complete system. That makes sense? Just like in the deity worship, it also includes all your bath and everything, your japa, taking care of guests, you know, taking prasad, you know, worshipping Tulsi, studying Bhagavatam, chanting japa. You know what I'm saying? In other words, all it's done is taken the same thing and emphasized over here, all these are there. You know, and something else, you emphasize this, this goes, and this one. But it's just, you know, so in the Abhideya, then in the Rupa Goswami's, you know, emphasis on the Bhagavat process, then Pancharatra must be part of it for the conditioned soul. Otherwise, what regulates his life? Makes sense?
Yes. But who applies? Who applies this?
Applies what?
These three form of native worship.
saying those in the Vaikunas families use it. There's people who still use it. Tantra, then there's so many people that follow this as a tantra, especially Bengal, Kerala. They use more the tantra. And Pancharatra, that's mixed. So Pancharatra, the advantage of it, if you qualify in the mode of goodness, then you can be initiated into it. It changes the body, so that all the problems of birth or other things aren't considered. That's why it's the perfect thing for the Sankirtan as a support. Dwapara Yuga is the process, and Kali Yuga is the support. As a form of worship, as an agama, it's the preferred, because anybody can do it if they qualify by initiation. Well, the other ones, there seems to be something beyond that. There's something different than that. So, next question. So for us, then the Vaikunas and the Tantra are the process. So the mix, that's what we use. But what it's meaning is, let us say you're doing a yajna, you could use tantric or pancharatric, in other words, it, depending on what's there, it doesn't matter. As long as they're bona fide, then they can all be used. That makes sense? Yeah. It's just like Sakri Sardipika will explain the Vedic method of establishing a fire. So you can use that, and that's bona fide. Or you could use a pancharatric system, and that's bona fide. Or you can mix the two. Doesn't matter. Does that make some sense? Why are you tired?
Because I have so many questions. I finish if you want.
No. When I fall asleep, then I'll fall. Let's see how we go. We'll try to go to 5:30. We're still going. Somewhere either 5:30 or maximum 6. That's why I was surprised that you put in teaching the students. Because you have so many questions, I thought that, that would be 1 week, you know. He would take up the other week, and then everybody else would fit in here and there. You know. I was originally, I thought that we would just be meeting every day.
The problem is it's so difficult to use, you know, the precious time while you are here, because we didn't want that students would be...
because this is your normal running time.
Yeah, we start always, you know, the first week of September teaching.
Really? Sorry, September?
Yeah. That's the Hungarian tradition.
Oh, okay, yeah.
1st of September is Thursday.
Yeah, okay.
Because we have to finish already, before marathon.
But you're already starting on Tuesday.
Yeah. I mean, the week when the 1st of September
is.
Oh,
I see. That's whenever, when we start. Whenever the first falls that week.
Yeah, because that semester should last 12 weeks and we have to finish before marathon. So we have to end by mid-November. So there's, and we have to start after Japastami, so we have to squeeze in those semesters, those 12 semesters.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah, we started at the point.
Yeah. Because that's when the sun is on the north.
No, it's in the south. It's still Dakshinaya.
But isn't it that it should, I mean, we should teach novelty?
It means you can start from the month before. It means Balaram Purnima is also a Vedic time of starting classes. Mm. Balaram Purnima or the Vishwarupa itself? Some Vedas start at Vishwarup, and I think the other three Vedas start at Balaram Purnima. Mm-hmm. Just because the other Vedas are longer, they take longer. The Sama Veda is shorter. So that makes sense.
In the Elements Canto, Krishna has given a process of deity worship. Is it the common or common basis of deity worship? Every permanent murti.
I mean, the principles of it, yes. But depending upon the Pancharatra, then what they emphasize and what exactly is the ritual of each, that you may find to be different. So Sanatana Goswami then goes through the Pancharatras and pulls out what elements of all these literatures we would consider bona fide ritual. You know, that's favorable for, you know, the Gaudiya Vaishnava tradition. But even within that, you still have to study it in relationship to the commentary, because the commentary gives our angle on it, how we would use it. Sometimes it's as it is, sometimes it's an adjustment. Like in the Vedic Vastu worship, they feed him all non-Vedic, non-vegetarian stuff, because his ghosts and all that, you know, is who he's in the feeding. But we see him as a devotee of the Lord, so therefore we just offer him sweet rice. So based on that, then Gopal Bhatta Goswami, he gives the performance of just when we do Vastu Puja, then we just offer him sweet rice. You know what I'm saying? But that's from the commentary, not from the text. So that's but those principles, but some of them are overlapping. Like it mentions one purifies with earth. That's both mentioning the bath and putting the tea on. That makes sense. But all those elements, those are there. That's the Pancharatra. The 16 items, that is the Pancharatra standard. How big or small you make each of those 16, that depends upon the particular Pancharatra. To do the worship, you have to have, in other words, you have to have those five. Abhidhamana, Upadana, Yoga, Icha, and Svadhyaya. So exactly how much they get into the, especially yoga, then some will do that much more, some will do it less, or one aspect more. Some will get into dhyana, the manasapuja more, dhyana manasapuja more, some will do it less. Some will get into purifying all the elements or installing the paraphernalia more, some less. That makes sense. So that's it. So, but otherwise, everything is there. It's that standard.
It's interesting. The 16 for upachara is the very similar to 64 acts of devotional service.
Mm-hmm. One is coming from the other.
Krishna says that the dvijas who can worship the murti, the deity, but he says that the most beneficial process is deity worship for Shudras and women. How can they take benefit for the deity worship in the direct form, in a direct form.
Well, that now you're reducing it down to, you know, very few items within the devotional process, aren't you? So the point is that if you're taking the 64 items of devotional service, basically all of those anybody can do. It's only a couple of them that they are directly doing. The other point is that according to Pancharatra, not according to modern politically correct, you know, like that, is seeing the activity and doing the activity is actually no difference in the benefit for the practitioner. So if the women and Shudras see it, they're getting the same benefit. They're considered as good as doing it. Right? But because of the modern lack of faith and trust, unless I do it myself, it hasn't been done. Therefore the question comes up. Right? It means according to Pancharatra, you should perform Mangal Arati. So that means you just have to watch it. Because only one person can do it. So that means there's going to be one full temple for per person. Right? It means somebody does the arti, one person does the arti, and the other, you know, hundreds of people watch it. And they get the benefit. Does that make sense? So this whole political correctness is being brought up by people who are less intelligent. Because if they're intelligent, they just have to watch. And it's just like this. But it only applies to these things where someone can see you doing it. Right? It's just like this. If we took an element of the service where it was not seen by anybody and no one would see the result, there's not one woman or Shudra that's fighting to do it. If it's washing the pots in a place where no one sees it and putting it on a shelf and no one will see it, no one's fighting for that. It's all brahmacharis washing those pots. But if it's an arti where everyone will see, or dressing the deity where everyone will see, then there's fight. Therefore, I say it's not intelligent. It's motivated. It's lack of faith. They say equal spiritual opportunity, so is washing the pots. So is taking out the garbage. But that's left just to the men. So why not let's get equal here. Let's get spiritual, you know. You know what I'm saying? But people will go, oh, the deities look so beautiful, you know, then you can feel good, or you can offer the artik and everybody's seeing. So that's the only places. It's just these pieces. It's not other places. You know what I'm saying? You know, it's like doing the RT, giving the lecture, you know, taking the disciples like this. These are the things. Anything else is just work that nobody will see or appreciate. No one's fighting over nothing. Like that. That's why I think it's a joke. Because even if you say, yeah, go for it, it won't be there anyway. You know what I'm saying? You do it once, twice, and then it's always someone else. Like that. So that's the point. Is there's two things. One, that was just applying it within our own. Right. The second is, there's also the element that they would do all this puja to different deities than the Archamurti. In other words, they can take a picture and worship. Right? They can draw the deity in the sand and worship. You know what I'm saying? But only in the Archamurti, then there's so many restrictions. Because then you can have the broadest range of activities offered. You can't use a sand deity, you can only, it's limited what you can do, or to a picture, it's limited what you can do. Right? But when you get into the Archamurti, so much you can do, and it's non-different from the deity, and you can interact more. So therefore the standard has to be higher. It's just like this. You must have had times when you're sitting and taking prasad, and the serving is nice. Or times when you've had where the serving is bad. Which did you prefer? Okay. Then, in the times when the serving prasad was bad, it's not that that devotee who was serving was not enthusiastic and wanted to do it. So it's wanting to do it enough. It's important, right? Because that gives rise to the spontaneous element. But one should have the qualification to do it also. Does that make sense? So that's the whole point, is that if that is there, then it's there. But now, you look at how many technical aspects are there in the puja. What elements of those do the women actually want to do? They only want to bathe the deity, dress the deity, put ornaments, put flowers, you know, like this, and offer garlands, and offer the boga, offer nice smells, like that. Yeah? They want to sit there and do all the things, cooking. That's what I said, the food. So the food. In other words, those five main principles, those are the most pleasing to the deity. That's what the ladies like to do. The rest of the technical stuff, they're not into it. All the ashrams, the idamasana, the sasari, all these things, they're not into that. You know what I'm saying? So that's the point. That's why in the big temples, then the men do all that and the women do these other things. And if they want to do it in their homes, then they do it there. They can do it full how they like. But if you do it at home, who's going to notice? If you do it at the temple, then everybody notices. So it's prestige. It's got nothing to do with actually trying to please the deity. You can do the same thing at home. You know, like women want to bathe the deity. Okay, then have a deity and all the women can bathe the deity. No, they got to bathe the deity if the men are watching. I've seen it in my life. One of the ladies said, hey, you ladies want to bathe the deity, I got deities, let's have a program just the ladies. We'll do the kirtan, we'll do everything, forget the men. They did it once. Everybody's ecstatic, this is great, this is that. Never happened again. You know, and then a couple of years later, then the deity, then that's the one we got to have. You know, then again, then the ladies got theirs there, but everybody can see it's right next to them where the men ones are. Then that one, they got to go and take their kids and try to get their kids to, you know, so that's not a good topic for me to discuss. You just need a cloth or towels or something. You need a few more. I would just keep putting, put a whole bunch on top first and then do that. Because otherwise it'll go too deep. Oh well. Very methodical, but slow. You just go. Shh. Yeah, not now, push them and do whatever you're doing.
How we can purify this mood of service?
How to purify that mood of service? That we actually look at it from what is pleasing to the deity. What elements I would like to be involved in, but how actually is pleasing to the deity.
Mm-hmm.
And then, in the beginning, that's how we're going to look at it anyway. So whatever's available, take it within that, choose what we like, and then do. That's the Vedic principle, is that what the Vedas say, what are then given in the revealed scriptures, that is practiced by the, you know, elevated souls, from that we choose, you know, what is good for us. You know what I'm saying? So in other words, what is practiced in the tradition, that we take. You know, so those from the traditional have a tendency to just fall into that very regulated and all that. Sometimes it loses its life. You know, Westerners are interested in the life, but a lot of times they don't care for tradition. And because of lack of the sangati, they can't tell actually if I do this, what reaction it has. You know what I'm saying? I must dress the deity. Okay, but it'll start all politics amongst the other women. And is the deity worship supposed to be so political? And then the politics increases, and then they fight so much that nobody wants to dress the deity. But because of the possessiveness of the woman, it's my right to dress the deity at this time, but I'm not going to do it. And I won't let anyone else do it. Therefore, the Pancharatra doesn't recommend this for big temple worship. So that's why in Mayapur, Vrindavan, Bombay, they don't get involved. The worship is very simple. 40 pujaris there, been there forever. The guy that does Mangal Arati in there has been doing it for the last 15 years. Nobody says boo, nobody cares. Like that. But as soon as you have it that, okay, the women could do Mangal Arati, then it's a whole big fight, politics, this, that, big management, trying to work it in, and then this one's supposed to do it, she's off the altar, but she didn't, you know, but it's her thing, and she wants to put in her friend, and this one said, no, that one, it's insane. Therefore, in the smaller temples, then they do. And it's no problem, because it's the smallest thing, they're doing less things. Like what you do here in Budapest will be simpler than what's going on there. You know, it's just like that. You know what I'm saying? So it's just because there's always the things and that. And the lady wants to do when she feels like doing it, not when she has to do it. Men do things when they have to do it and when they like to do it. But women are only inspired to do it when they want to do it. So how long does that them wanting to do it last? If people aren't telling them it's great and fabulous and that. That's why they can cook in their family every day, because they'll all say it's great. But you cook for the deities, who's going to tell you it's fabulous? Like that. So that's why these rules are there. So most of our temples all function on its home worship, so therefore all the ladies are. At Calcutta, ladies were always involved in the puja. But in Mayapur, right next door, they were never involved. Cooking they could do, but more than that, no.
My Pankajambi Prabhu said that the woman can do deity worship, but not Nyilvános.
Not public.
But not public.
Yeah, and he's in their home and stuff. Can, behind there, closed, can, but still, in Mayapur, it'll just be politics. I know, I've been there for years, and I know, it's just like in the school. We have a thing, the girls are there, they make a snack in the morning, all the mothers want to cook the snack, so they work out their days and this and that, and then every week they're calling out, I can't cook. They won't let someone else do it. Then you say, okay, you can't regularly cook two times a week, you only cook one, give it to someone else. No, it's my day, it's my right. If I wanted to, I want to have the right that I could, but I don't want to. Like that. So that's not supposed to be there in Pancharatra. Plus, as a manager, how many marriages arise from pujaris in the pujari room and in the kitchen? So what does that mean is the consciousness going on there? Therefore, the Pancharatra doesn't recommend that you mix the two. Right? But because of their devotional sentiment, then the women just go in there, and in 2 months they walk off with a brahmachari. So I mean, it's just like, you know, crazy. Like that. So many crazy things go on, and then the women fight over, they got to do the toast. I'm seeing women fighting, destroying their relationships with each other over doing the Tulsi worship. Right? That's a few Tulsis that go in the temple room that everybody sees. The Tulsis out in the field that they make the garlands out of are picked by hired karmis. And not one woman will go out there in the mud and get her feet dirty and pick Tulsis. Oh, in the nice bucket place with the nice little pots where everybody can see you and you can carry it in and put it down and smile. That's what they all want to do. So is it worship of Tulsi that's important? That's the point. So, yes, they can do. But at the same time, because of the nature, they can't. Theoretically, they could. But practically, they won't allow each other to do. Right? Everyone has to fight over who puts the jewelry, or who puts the wigs, or who fixes this, who fixes this. You know, what's the big deal? And watch, the men go into the deity room, and it's time to clean up. You got 5 minutes before, everyone just starts doing things. Today I take this out. If I've taken something else out, the other person takes it and that. So there's no specific duties. They all just work and just get done, because they've done that for years. Women know, that's my right to take it out. Why did you touch it? Like that. Possessiveness is there. Like now, how are you sitting? When you came and sat down, that's your spot. After lunch, it's still your spot. Right? And if someone else sat there, you'd be upset.
A little bit.
Of course, it's not worth killing over. I only sat there once. But if we had been doing this for a week and every day you sat there, on the fifth day if someone sat there, then we can discuss killing. So that's the thing. The men, you don't quite have that same... You have men that are like that, but it's not the generic thing. So that's why in these public things, is the women watch, because they get more out of watching than doing, because they take part in the environment and the atmosphere, and there's not all the pressures and the intensity, things like that, you know. So then it's nice. So it's just a matter of what works good for the mentality. Like that. Ladies like to do certain things. If they do those, then it's nice. And the other things, then let other people do. You know, if it works, great. If it doesn't, then... You know what I'm saying? So generally what you see is you have, it works if it's all men, and the women are a little bit there in the background, or it's all women, and for a few things they involve the men. But you don't see where it's just across the board, just equally run. It just won't work, because if the women run it, it's theirs. Right? If the men run it, it's the deities. So then they don't appreciate if the woman gets stuck on something and someone else is better at it, they should do it. No, it's my right. It's like, what do you mean? They can do it better. What do you mean it's your right? Right? Is it for the deity or it's your possession? You know what I'm saying? So therefore, so then the women get upset. So the men are running things and they stand aside. You know, and then they'll make the thing, push it in, get it in, then all the women will take over and the men will go out on Sankirtan, go somewhere else, and the women will, hey, what happened? Right. Right? In Soho, women do all the puja. Like that. No one to do the noon offering. Just the man. No one wants to do any of these. You know what I'm saying? So that's the thing. So it's not necessarily, it's not as stable. You know what I'm saying? So that's just the nature. So because deity worship means stableness. So unless it's theirs, and if it's their deity in their home, and very steadily, they're always, you know, whatever they've decided, I offer everything to my deity, everything will be offered to the deity. You know, or they dress like this, or wake them up, and it will happen, because it's theirs. And there's nobody else involved, so it will run very nicely. But when you have the form in the temple, where it's nice karma, then very difficult. You know what I'm saying? Like that. So that's why the big temple worship, if not the main things that the ladies generally get involved in, because they could do them, but they won't do them forever. The man, whether he's married or not, can still do it. Whether he has a child or not, can still do it. But these things will affect the woman in it. She has a child, she can't get up in the morning, she can't be clean, so she doesn't do it. But the husband can still take a bath, go to the temple and do the puja. Right? So that's why it's set up like that. You know, so the point is, it's got nothing to do with the soul. It's the particular conditioned nature that the soul is in. You know, that's like demanding that I have a saw here, and why do you say only those with knives can cut the sabji? You know, I also want to cut the sabji. You know, in fact, I can cut more potatoes at once than anybody with a knife. I just line them up and take my saw. You know, it's, you know, why do you say it's less, you know, less efficient? You know what I'm saying? So it's just the nature of what it is. If one actually studies and understands what is masculine and feminine nature, then it's automatic. You know, you want to do ashman, you use a spoon. You don't take a bowl or a fork. You don't use a fork to do ashman. You could say, but that's discrimination against the fork. You know, like that. You know, it should be equal rights. You know, like that. You know what I'm saying? Or why is it, you know, the fork's on the outside and the spoon's on the inside? Why can't the fork be on the spoon on the outside? Because, you know, you start eating things with a fork and then you eat the dessert with a spoon. So you know what I'm saying? So it's just what works and what thing, do that and do that best. Because the point is you want to get a consistent, you know, result, a consistent experience. Right. Does that make sense?
Could we go to
Pekka Gata with
this mentality?
Let's jump into conclusions.
You gotta work at it. Of course, the system is designed that the woman's field is attachment. But it's not the problem. Men have to become detached.
Women have to change that attachment to Krishna. But you find those places where the attachment can be consistently attached.
You
know what I'm saying? Going to Mangalartik, the girl could be attached to doing every day, but doing the Mangalartik, not necessarily. Therefore, it's more efficient to engage the going to Mangalartik than the doing, if doing is not an option.
Right.
Does that make sense? Because is that okay? You know, because it's like this: very peaceful Mangalarti, the lady's doing the Mangalarti, and that everybody notices her. But you start up a rip roaring, you know, kirtan, and everyone's dancing, no one's even looking at the deities. Then she doesn't feel so inspired. Then she feels left out. Then it's like all the good kirtans I always miss, you know, why can't you get someone else? You know, like that. So that's the point, is God knows who women are, He created them. So therefore He says, do these things and be very happy, and don't do these things and let the men do them. You know, because it's just the way it is. You know, the same way there's restrictions on the men, things they don't do. So like that, Manu has so many things. Well, they shouldn't watch the women dressing or putting oil on the body or eating. Eating. Because the men is deep. The women is all over. The whole thing. So it, you know, it's like that. So therefore, they're not. You don't focus on them when they eat. Yeah, isn't it? Because you look at it. It means you go out to dinner in a normal situation, and the women just that, and the men just eat. But if it's a romantic dinner, then the man is concentrating on the woman. Right? And where does the romantic dinner end up? Right? So that's the point. So it's like you don't the men don't focus on the women eating. It just brings out because it's just senses. Like that. So the men can't distinguish between sensuality and sexuality. If they know it's there, they can, but otherwise, in general, it doesn't. So that's the. You know, it's just like man and woman eat together. How much interaction they can have. Right? The women feel the men aren't really getting appreciating the eating. Right? And the men concentrate on the women eating, then it gets into sensuality. So the interaction isn't really very dynamic. If the men eat and the women serve, then the interaction is very dynamic. So if you want full interaction, that's the combination to do it. Does that make sense? Right. So therefore, that's what the wife will serve the husband, and they get full interaction as husband and wife. But if they sit down and eat together,
it doesn't really happen. Because her experience of eating would be double of his, so they don't really relate. Right. It'll be there, but it's less. Right? And then the woman can sit and eat herself and really get into it. She can keep herself busy. So that's why it's not a problem, they'll sit.
That
makes sense. Or even they'll get too shy to eat because they can't get into it.
Vagy pedig az van, hogy egyik lennek, akkor a nő esetleg itt túl félénk lesz, mert hogy szégyenlős lehet, hogy nem csinálhatja annyira, amire szeretné.
That makes sense. So that's why the Shastras say this, because they just know who's who and what's what, and that's why all Adhikara is given is the first thing. So even nectar devotion, the first thing to establish is Adhikara. Who's qualified for devotional service, who can do what, everything. Then you start. So Sanatana Goswami is the same. Who's qualified for Brahminical initiation, who can do the Pancharatna, what are the qualifications? And there's like in the home, someone's a guest, it just interacts based on the home standard. But in the temple standard, you have another level of cleanliness. You know what I'm saying? So the women can't be as clean as the men on a daily basis. You're not going to wash your hair every day. Like that. So that means you slept in that hair, so that means it's not as clean as if you took a bath every day. You do that, you'll die of pneumonia. Right? So therefore, in the home, it doesn't matter. If somebody comes to your home, then come to your home. So they accept things the way it is. That makes sense? The temple, you create another standard. So then, does that make sense? So if the woman's out of childbearing age and has shaved her head, then it doesn't matter. She can maintain that standard. You understand? So like that. And so different things are there. Or standards of no sewn cloth. So women, can't maintain that. Previously, yes, but now. That's right. Because otherwise you couldn't pin your sari to your shoulder. You pin it to the shoulder.
Very nice.
No, you pin it to the choli. What I'm saying, you can pin it to the choli. If you didn't wear a choli, you can't pin it to your shoulder. Like that. So that's the point. So these kind of things, it's just a higher standard because of the nature. Does that make sense? Does that make sense? Yeah. So that's why the intelligent person understands who they are and how they can fit into the system to get the best benefit. The best benefit means how they can best be engaged fully in Krishna's service. So for some that would be very simple, some would be much more complex. It depends on the individual personality. Does that make sense? So one finds areas that one can get into and preach. Does that make sense? Bhagavatam's class is going on. The man, no, the women have to give the Bhagavatam class. Okay, but they really like speaking. Why aren't they inviting people over to their house regularly and having programs and speaking? No one will say anything. That'll be.
But that's work. You got to keep your house clean. You got to set up. It's got to be up to standard. No one will, you know, socially say it's not nice. You know, plus you got to endeavor to get the people and make arrangements and food. There's a lot of work. While the class, you just walk in, sit down, and get the garland, and everybody hari bol. And understand? So that's the thing. If the one is there, it'll be worth it because somebody is making the endeavor for that. Temple commander, and then he's inviting people to have the class. Right? So he's doing the work, and then he has the people get the class. So in the same way, as the woman sets the house up, does everything, invites all the people, she can have give class whoever she wants because she's arranged it. And if somebody else, another lady, says, no, I demand that I can give the class, it's kind of like, what do you mean? I arranged it. So it's like, they want to give the class. I don't see any ladies fighting to arrange the class. Right? I haven't seen anybody fight for that one. I mean, the guys go door to door. This one doesn't want to give, that one doesn't want to give, so many things. You have to be very humble to do that. You know, go to people asking you to give the class and then say, no, I'm busy, maybe next week. Or I'm not sure, I'll contact later, so you have to leave it open because maybe they'll say yes and then last minute they say no and then you got to run around and find someone else. Right? If it's a big festival and all that and you're going to control the things like that, okay, this one gives this, this and that, then no problem. Yeah, it's 1 day, 2 days, 3 days, no problem. Then the lady's there in charge, got a phone and walkie-talkie and telling them. No, that's cool. Every day, day in, day out, you know, festivals, no festivals, devotees are there, no devotees are there. Rare. There may be, but it's rare. Okay. So these are very general descriptions. But, you know, the principles basically always apply. So that's the thing, we have the faith that the scriptures know who we are, and therefore they have picked very ideal situations for us so that we can be, we can perform to the best of our ability and get the maximum result, then it makes it very easy. You know what I'm saying? Different road. Yes, no?
Yes, but
no.
I finished asking.
So then how is tomorrow going to work?
It's going. Teaching starts at 10 o'clock.
10. But I'm just saying, how does it function in that? Or?
The first topic is the Vedic literature. It takes 1.5 hours, so 90 minutes, okay. I suppose. And all, you know, we have daytime and, not nighttime, but correspondent students. And all the daytime students are supposed to come, but it's open for the correspondent students as well.
Oh, if they want to come.
Yeah, if they
want. Okay, so that's 10 to 11:30.
Yes.
And then?
First class, then a 10 minutes break. 15 minutes break. And another 90 minutes class.
And that on the same topic?
Yes, I suppose so. Yeah, it's a national. And then lunch And all the Tuesdays, Wednesdays and Thursdays we'll work like that. So two 90-minute classes, one after each other with a 15-minute break and lunch. Or different topics. So one of the three topics, Vedic literature, Vedic psychology or Vedic pedagogy or education.
Okay, so it has here 2 days Vedic literature.
Yes.
And then that's Vedic psychology, and this is Vedic psychology. He has 3 days Vedic psychology.
Yeah.
And 1 day pedagogy.
Right.
I have a tendency, is depending on what it is, to see if the psychology continues enough, but if it starts to wind up, put in the pedagogy.
Mm.
Because it may be there's more on that in 1 day. Maybe less, but maybe more.
It's really up to you.
Yes, yeah, it does. Let me run out and there's nothing to say. I have to think of something else.
And you know the guy who made the documentary with you, Norby, you know, the breakfast at the Guru Court.
Oh, okay.
He would like to see you or meet you at Bhakti Wednesday after lunch for 30 minutes, if it's appropriate for you.
Oh, I see. Oh, so we're having lunch at the Bhakti?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
So do you mind if he comes over Wednesday?
Yeah, that. Yeah, we could do it later. We can do it in the evening.
But that would be at least 30 minutes.
Oh, with Norby?
With Norby, yeah.
Okay.
So could he come by? Or
yeah, whenever it's good for him. So Wednesday is better for him.
And then it's Krishna that organized, but she said she asked me to ask you about this.
Okay. Well, if that's the time for him, it's better to work around his schedule.
Thank you.
Norby, is that's the full name or that short?
No, that's short form. It's Norbert.
Norbert. Okay. You have a Norbert in your...
He's the yoga teacher.
Oh, okay.
It's kind of a common name.
Norbert is a common name.
For that generation.
Oh, okay. And Dilbert?
We don't have any Dilbert.
No, Dilbert. Okay.
Robert and Norbert.
Okay. Oh, Robert. Oh, okay, so Bert is... What is
and Albert.
What's Bert? Albert, Robert, Norbert.
It's Germanic, that's for sure.
It's Germanic. You have any rule at school? There's no Germanic names? Or?
We have good Hungarian names.
Okay, so even if it's... So Norbert, but you actually call him by something else, because...
It's above the standard.
You have your whatever name, then you have your bhakti name, then you can get your devotional name. That's funny.
The Hungarians are crazy about name changes. It's a common sport. Especially for surnames.
They change it.
They change it very
How many times would the average person change it in his life?
No, it's just quite uncommon in other European countries, but in Hungary it's very quite often happens.
It means if they have a name that's non-Hungarian, they change it to a more Hungarian.
Yes. Especially started in the interwar period. So many Jews who had Germanic names changed them into Hungarian.
Oh, okay.
But I met a Greek person who changed 4 times his name in his life.
Didn't like Zorba.
We've got the Minister of Education who changed both names, the surname and the Christian name as well.
Oh, really?
So he's got a totally different name what he used to have.
Trying to forget the past, or
it's just showing their identity or something that he's special.
Not that it's, and they change to a name that's not necessarily representative of their dynastic
background. Sometimes. I knew a guy and his name was Croatian, and that was his surname. It was Croatian in Hungarian. And when the Yugoslav war broke up, he put on the name Serbo-Croatian. And he still called Serbo-Croatian to manifest that he's against the war. But that's his official name since then. George Serbo-Croatian, that's his name.
Okay.
It can be crazy.
Yeah, it sounds like this. That's fun. Is it difficult to change the name?
No, very easy.
You just put it in the paper that this is going to change, and then after
that. No, you just ask the Minister of Interior Affairs. So you have to pay like 10,000 forints, and there's a devotee who changed his surname into Balaram.
So
and Maharaj changed his name, so now his official name is Sivaram Swami.
He's got a Hungarian passport.
Yeah, with that name. He was quite sad because he didn't keep the W, so he's not Swami but Swami in the Hungarian spelling, S-V-A-M-I.
Oh, because they don't have a W?
And there's a debate among devotees, but there are several traditions how to write Hungarian names. One is the phonetic, and there's no W in Hungarian. There's no phoneme, W in Hungarian. Mm-hmm. So some voted for the V.
The W is just a double V.
Yeah, but in English that's a different sound. And in German it's a different sound as well.
So. Some places the V is used as a U even. Like old things, like you say, bush, B with a V. Like perfume, Bulgari. Mm-hmm. They use a V, they don't use a U.
Yeah, because in Latin, I mean, even in medieval Latin, there was no difference. They confounded U and V. So in many scripts, you see that they use the letter V for U and vice versa. Mm-hmm. So it doesn't clear at that. It just looks so posh if, you know, you write a V instead of a U.
So therefore now he's got a posh spelling.
Yeah.
So it could be Swami, or it could be a U, so it would be Suami.
Yeah, but yeah, that's a different sound in Hungarian, so it would be Suami.
Yeah, it's auspicious Ami.
Yes.
<It's highly> auspicious.
But now in his passport, in Maharaj's passport, it's written as Sivaram Swami. You just need to you need to argue why you want to change your name.
They accept thumb wrestle or something.
And they accept almost everything. That's a human right now.
Oh, okay. So he doesn't have a Canadian passport anymore?
He's got double citizenship.
Oh, can it very loud.
But there he kept his ancient name and the Hungarian name.
That's interesting. In the Canadian past, we got the Hungarian name. The Hungarian past.
The Sanskrit.
And at this class, when you have supposed to write on the blackboard, or are we just supposed to talk, or stand on the table and march back and forth?
There will be a blackboard. Okay. I mean, the thing is that quite a few of the freshmen are off the street, so they really knew well for Krishna consciousness as well. So maybe it would be, and their first experience will be you in Krishna consciousness. Probably we will make some handouts out of your lectures that will help them to put things together. But parallel to this, they will receive a bibliography or compulsory readings as mm-hmm. well. So those for the Vedic literature and those for the freshmen, that's for first year. the Vedic pedagogy and Vedic psychology, that's for third or fourth year. But probably others, the freshmen will attend as well, because we had the opening ceremony yesterday and they were quite keen on coming for more lectures. And this is an experience for us as well, because we don't know, we never had so many non-devotees among our students. Mm-hmm. So this is the first real year where we were advertised as a state accredited school, so some 100 students came out of the vast majority are non-devotees, not yet.
Mm. Why did we pick your school?
And, it's exotic.
I like the hairstyle. You don't ask them why they.
I wasn't there at the entrance exam.
Right, other universities don't provide so much. Oh, so they're specifically interested in Vedic, the yes. Vedic kind of like perspective. Mm-hmm. Like that. Other schools don't specialize in that so much. Okay, that's good.
We have one Indology department, but it's very marginal. I mean, there are like three teachers altogether. Out of one is an Indian guest professor, and they have like two or three students every second year. So that's a very marginal thing. And not, I mean, if you don't include that, there's nowhere where you can study Indian studies or theology. There's so a Buddhist school as well.
So what is your curriculum called then?
They will have a diploma, a BA in Vaishnava theology. So that's theology that we teach.
Okay, so they're interested in theology.
Yes.
And the Vedic.
Yeah. Okay. But we advertise ourselves as this is a school which is maybe with your diploma you will be a great hit on the market, the labor market, but you will learn how to live. So this is like a lifestyle school. That's why they got interested, because there are quite a few who are a bit older, like in their 30s, 40s, so not, this is not their first institution of higher education. So they really came here for knowledge, not for.
I think Matsyavatar also. Professionals or just different? Matsyavatar, I think he said the average age of his students is 44. Mm. His youngest student was 29. Mm-hmm. At that. So he says most older people. And in his, it's almost all professionals.
Mm. One of the key terms now in Europe is lifelong learning. First, because you know, if you want to keep your job, you need to go new courses all the time. And this one is—I mean, people are now used to learn and study continuously, one school after the other. So, as I could see, I mean, some of the students are already settled down in life, so they're just not satisfied with their normal everyday life.
Okay, so we'll see what happens.
You see how many will stay? That's always the big question. You always start with huge classes, and after that, they just get fewer and fewer.
Means they just drop out of the school? Or?
Yeah. Some become devotees, and the others just drop out.
Anybody stays in? Or?
Yeah.
They become devotees, and the temple president sends them out in Sankirtan, or they leave.
Yeah, that's something we always think about. But we decided that if somebody becomes a devotee and moves to New Rajadham or to Budapest temple, that's a success, because that was the aim. But after that, they keep coming back to study, so they don't really cut their relationship with bhakti altogether.
But I mean, other universities, students start and then drop out?
Yeah.
Oh, so it's not an uncommon thing?
No, not at all. Among the Buddhists, it's like 15 and 20% who stays. till the end, till their the graduation. Yeah, in a karma school it depends, but I teach at the history department, and there are like 25-30% who drops out, never gets to the degree.
It's something you don't hear those kind of statistics.
I mean, because these students, I mean, these generations, they don't have to strive for life, and you know, they are fed by the parents and other things, so they just try here and there. They are like hand, right? They just look for what they, what is pleasing them. Mm-hmm. I mean, it gets, when they have to make an effort, they choose for another one, and they go for another institute or other major or something. They don't really stick to one thing. This is getting more and more common. And this is a new system, actually, that in the first semester, they just study whatever they want. And after they have to choose which major they specialize in from the second semester at universities.
What if you know from the first one, that's okay? And you can just go like that? Or
they can put more seminars of that major, but they have to choose other ones as well. So they just, for example, now just art. They go to art. And after one semester they decide whether it's literature, history, English, whatever.
What happens if they want to take art, medicine, law, economics, and
it's not possible, because at least in Hungary there are different universities for that. So at least they have to choose one university.
I see. You don't have a university that has all those departments.
You do, but there are different specialties. So art are together. Law is a different one. So you.
What happens if you're not sure if you want to take law or medicine?
You have to wait another year. So you choose law, and if you're not satisfied with that, next year you start medicine, if you're accepted.
What's your attrition rate?
My nutrition rate?
Attrition.
Attrition?
Means dropouts.
Oh. Quite high, I suppose.
It's worse than the Buddhists?
Around that.
15-20% make it.
Yeah.
But of those 15-20% that make it, how many of those that didn't make it became devotees?
The thing is, we can't really. I'm not able to give you any statistics, because this will be the first year. This will be the first year where we are officially accredited. So far, we started teaching in 2001.
Oh, but it was only devotees.
They were only devotees. They didn't get any beneficials for being students. They didn't get student card. They didn't get, scholarship or grants. Nothing.
But now, having studied all that, that's not recognized by the government. We put in some time studying.
Yes. I mean, quite a few come because of, because they have student cards and, other things as well. These beneficials. I mean, first year, 2001, we started with 20 students. And we had now 6 who graduated. So that's the only statistics we know. But they were all, quite keen.
Six out of
20. Yeah. But the others continue as well. They didn't drop out. I mean, those who really disappeared, like 4 or 5, including Gorna Rayan. Because he was there for a while after that. He had other things to do. So he had to sustain himself or something like that. There are those students. But there are those who didn't drop out, who just postponed their studies.
until they get some credit.
Yes. So I don't know exactly how many of those 20 we still have. So six had their diploma. So they
graduated now. Yeah. Once you're accredited, so then you can say that they.
Yeah, and so now they have an official state recognized diploma, BA diploma, for 4 years of Vaishnava theology. So that's nice. But those who come off the street, I mean, the ratio is much worse. I mean, like, we started a little higher, but I'm probably not on it. I know, I think. For example, the day students last year, first freshmen, there were 12 students, and now we have 3 or 4 these days, so that's a bad one.
It's still 4 out of 12, that's still 30%.
Yeah. But it's only after 1 year, so we will see how, you know, because there's 3 years to go for the graduation. And they have Bhakti Vaibhav to face, and, you know, the bigger obstacles. They have to write their paper, thesis. Not the thesis, but the graduation paper. So those are the real tests that they have to face. We will see. But the real question is from this year, because now they have all the benefits.
Then you see if anybody stays.
Yeah. But at the same time, there are quite a lot to. Who are non-devotees, who just came for the knowledge.
Mm-hmm.
And at the same time, we started courses from March.
Oh, Andy Junaraj is here at the temple.
That's
what he says.
He wasn't there this morning, but must have arrived today. We started courses as well, like yoga and Vaishnava philosophy and things like that. And since March till end of July, we had almost 300 students who paid for yoga, Vastu, astrology, Vaishnava cooking, and Vaishnava philosophy. And the most popular was the Vaishnava philosophy. So, strangely enough. That's why we had to move to a bigger place, because we just couldn't host so many students. We had to send some students away. They wanted to come for the yoga.
Maybe if they'll stand in the head, there might be lots of
students. But they had to extend their arms, and that makes the problem.
Okay. We'll just do the asanas like Talasana, put your hands over your head. Yeah, let's see what happens.
We have the day students and the nice and the correspondence students. All together there are 100.
But the correspondents will come to this?
They can, but they don't have to.
They come on Saturday.
They come on Saturday. So there will be around 40 and 50, I suppose. Tomorrow. 40.
Mm-hmm. And correspondence students?
16.
Correspondence means you do it by computer.
No, actually they have so-called consultation classes every Saturday. So they come on the Saturdays and they buy the copy books or the textbooks, and they sit for the exams. So it's not through a computer.
Oh, okay.
They just those are those who work during the day, during the week. So they can't come, so they study at home. And if they have questions, they come on Saturdays. Saturdays or Sundays. They don't have the same rights as the nice students.
Same?
Right.
Oh, okay.
Because they work at the same time.
But the degree they'll get will be the same.
That's the same, yeah.
Does it generally take them longer?
Yeah, same year. Same 4 years. But now we apply for other majors as well. We would like to make 3 majors. And for the correspondent students, we would have a softer version of the theology. Because they just can't make it up. I mean, those Saturdays are not enough to study as deeply, especially Sanskrit. It's really difficult to learn any language, especially Sanskrit, at home. Mm-hmm. Well, now we will apply for 2 new majors, and theology, Vaishnav kind of philosopher, and yoga instructor.
But yoga is a 4-year course.
Yeah, that would be a 4-year course. And we would train yoga instructors, so we would have the monopoly in Hungary, because now there are yoga schools everywhere. It's mushrooming.
What system are you using?
It's Govinda Krishna Prabhu who can tell, but it's like we start with hatha yoga. I mean, there are asanas, mm-hmm. and breathing exercises and all these.
Are we saying you're using any particular school, like Iyengar, Shridananda, or Bihar School of Yoga?
It's a mixture. I mean, it's like asanas, and they start chanting quite soon. So we focus on bhakti yoga.
Oh, I see. Okay.
That's yoga. So.
Okay.
So the philosophy is the same. It's like 1/3 of the credit they get through the 3 years are asanas, and breathing, and Surya Namaskar, and those stuff. But 2/3 is philosophy and culture, and that is Vaishnava philosophy, mm-hmm. Bhagavad Gita, and that stuff. Mm-hmm. So they study basically the same that theologists do, but on a simpler level. Lower level. Not lower level, but simpler.
Okay, so I'll see you tomorrow. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.